God bless you, Brother Joseph.
God bless you.
Nice to be here, recording again for our dear, sweet, inspiring brethren.
Amen.
Many of them wrote in lately seeking counsel about how to live by faith. They're actually asking us, can you teach us, can you let us know how is it to live by faith? What yes. can we tell these brethren?
Well, what Jesus can tell them. You know, everything right we are doing, we learn from the gospel. Everything wrong is just whatever we haven't learned yet from the Lord.
But you know, you have a lot of experience. How much? 40 years, I heard this year, right? 40 years of living by faith without a salary, without depending on a job to support yourself. You have 6 children. So, I mean, you must have a lot of experience on how to explain to the brethren how easy to live by faith.
A lot of experience, a lot of mistakes.
I suppose so.
You see, a lot of things I learned directly from the Lord. He has spoken to me many times. And other things I thought I knew how to do it, so I bang my head against the wall sometimes. Mistakes. And so anyway.
So practically speaking, somebody says, okay, I'm not going to have a job, but how am I going to put food on the table and be able to preach the gospel in the same time?
Right.
How is that possible?
Right. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't worry, I'll provide.
Okay. And practically speaking, how is that possible?
However,
we we stay around all day and do nothing?
However, if we walk in disobedience, God is not going to provide. So the key is obey the gospel.
So that's first step.
Yeah. Like I can't tell you for sure what worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's not that I cannot teach what didn't work for me. I can only teach what worked for me. So basically, my lesson was to seek first the kingdom of God and then to go witnessing, evangelizing. And that was my key. As long as I could continue evangelize and loving the Lord and whenever to make a decision, always try to make it according to the gospel, always trying to seek what gave God the glory, then it worked out always and always and always. Maybe not the same day, maybe not the same month, but eventually I was grateful I chose to do what was God's will, what was going to bring glory to God. And all these years, I sat in 1973 to live by faith with some other missionary who were living by faith, traveling around the world. I've been like in more than 20 countries evangelizing. Some of them I was many years, because when I go to a country, I just move in, I live like the people do. A few years in India, Eastern Europe. My origins are from Italy, but it's like Italy is really not my country anymore. It's like I belong wherever God sends me. Right now, I mean, we are here in South America. We are, quotes, South Americans. So they want to know how to live by faith?
Yeah, practically speaking, you wake up in the morning and you're saying, okay, we preach the gospel and that's how we live by faith. But you wake up in the morning, how do you provide food on the table without having a salary?
Well, you know very well, because you've been with us for so many years, right?
Yeah,
so
I do. But I'm interpreting the brethren's
right.
questions.
Well, we get up in the morning, we pray, and we counsel together every day, and we see what seems good to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit, and to us, and then we do it. So we see our purpose in life is just to love the Lord and then evangelize, reach the lost with
okay,
the salvation.
Okay, so I
of
go
Jesus.
On the street and I reach the lost and I tell them Jesus loves you and I bring them to salvation. How does that help me live by faith without a salary?
Yeah, it's like if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you, including food, including the money you need, including if you're looking for a house.
So how do? You just ask people, here, I'm giving you a gospel tract, give me some money? Or how do you do exactly?
Well, no, preaching the gospel is not seeking for money. We do pass the hat, however. Most of the people we evangelize is for free. But a lot of the times we are able to pass the hat. Like we distribute gospel material, like Christian movies, Christian audios, like we have a lot of, we have our recordings, our audio recordings, which we give to people. And
so you sell them?
No, we don't sell. No, absolutely no. People who have no money, I give nothing. We always give them something for free. It can be a DVD, a CD. If we cannot afford to give a DVD to everybody, we give a gospel track. Some people we give New Testaments.
So you don't sell, you then, but how do they give you the money if you don't sell these things, these products?
Well, we ask for donations, you know, just like they do in every church, you know. They have a service and then they pass with a basket and collect. Now, we are a mobile church. We don't have church building. We don't have religious building. Wherever we go, we rent a house with a little garden and we use it as a base, as a missionary base. That's our church every day. We pray together. And we are a missionary church. Or a non-denominational, we're just a Bible gospel church.
Now, I want to give an example to the brethren. Like, for example, the Lord provided a van for us, a second-hand van, humble, but praise the Lord.
I want to thank the dear brethren who send in their tithe every month, and which they cover our expenses. Sometimes not enough, because our expenses are usually more than what we receive, and that's why also locally we ask people locally to help. And so we want to really thank the brethren who help send in the tithes and faithful donations that we're able to buy the second-hand van and also pay the rent.
So what I wanted to say is that, okay, we got it, praise the Lord, and thank God bless the brethren who helped. But it had some mechanical problems.
Right.
Which, if we would have had to actually pay for them, it would have costed a lot. So what happened is, a couple of weeks ago, some of us met the director of a big mechanic shop.
We didn't meet. We went to look for him.
Yeah. We went evangelizing. We knocked at his door. And we entered and we actually witnessed to him. We prayed for him. We prayed for his daughter. His daughter had some problems, psychological problems, depression and everything. He helped with a donation. He got some DVDs and he helped with a donation for the mission, you know. And then he said, anytime you need help, let us know. Now we had the van. So we went back to him and we said, well, would you be able to help us fix the van? And you know what he said? He said, no problem. You know, my daughter is doing better. You prayed for me and my daughter a couple of weeks ago. My daughter is doing much better. She's getting out of the depression. So basically, because we ministered to him spiritually and we witnessed to him, it was his pleasure to help us materially.
He understood
to help us fixing the van.
Understood his wife also came.
Yeah, with four children.
And he remained there with four children.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, so basically he said, you know, you helped me with my daughter and everything. It's no problem. I'll help you fixing your van. So that is an example of what the Brother Joseph is saying, that we go evangelizing and people are helping us. It's a practical example.
It's actually a biblical principle. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 8, and also in Luke 8, verse 3. Jesus himself was collecting his support. In Luke, Gospel of Luke 8, verse 3, it says that there were women giving Jesus what he needed. So it's not that we just multiply his food every time, not at all. So we have to learn to pass the hat. A missionary like St. Paul, like Jesus did, you have to learn to pass the hat. It takes humility to pass the hat. It takes humility to say, can you help our mission? And some people will say, no, but the Lord will lead you to the right people. And then when we had to fix this van, we went back, somebody went back to this gentleman, polite and gentle. He has a mechanic shop, and he's right now, he's fixing our van right now because it needs a serious fixing. So we basically collect material help from the sheep that we evangelize. But like it says in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, if we gave you spiritual values, if we sold unto you spiritual things, is it big deal if we collect material things? Of course, no. Like, we give people the salvation of Jesus, salvation to get them out of hell into heaven for eternity. What is it for them to help materially? So you, a missionary must, man of God, must have the determination and the courage and the value and not to be afraid to ask for help. You cannot just sit around and wait for the manna to fall from heaven. God will help you through his people. Okay, the manna can fall from heaven, but that's like kind of rare. Usually you need to go around and evangelize. And then the people evangelize, pass the hat. They say, we'll leave by donation. If you can help, God bless you.
Well, it's actually a Bible principle, like you said. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. Like, sometimes I was having trials, I confess, you know, feeling a little humble about it. But you know, actually, I was thinking one time, I remember in Italy, we needed some help. And because of our need, we went into a shop. We asked for our need. You know, we're a missionary. Would you be able, please, to help with this? The man said yes. And it turned out that the guy needed us. He had a son who wanted to commit suicide and everything. If we wouldn't have had our need to go and ask, we wouldn't have been able to minister
but
to him.
But this happens almost every time. Like you go in a place to offer Christian material, it turns out that the lady is divorced, the man is in depression. So it's all just about the solace like that. So basically, these brethren who are asking for counsel, how to live by faith, we can share how we are doing it. Like we live together in a community, we share money, we share food. We're a lot of brethren living together, we're a big family. We're not many. So that's anybody can do this. So get together with other brethren and we're willing to share everything. But if you prefer to cooperate, instead of cooperating in the same house with other brethren, you prefer to have your own little house, your own little apartment, and cooperate with other apartments, other houses, you can do that too. It's really up to you how you want to do it. And then, instead of getting a job just for a salary, you might want to go distribute gospel material. So as you gather support from people who voluntarily give, at the same time you preach the gospel. If you want to go work in a factory, work your 8 hours, like the Jehovah's Witness do, and then you can do that too. Okay, the Jehovah's Witness, they work during the week, and one day they go preach the gospel. Of course, we don't agree with the doctrines. I'm not suggesting that. But the system, that's how they do, and it works. A lot of missionaries, they work 4 or 5 days a week, and they sometimes 6 days, and they evangelize one day or evangelize a couple of days. It depends.
You know what comes to me, though, as we're approaching the end time and the mark of the beast, this might not be possible soon. So
To get jobs, yeah. Look, I started to work when I was a little child, and I worked all the way nonstop until 25. Then I just left the world, forsook the jobs and everything. And since then, it's been now about 40 years, I never had a job. I never had any debt. I never borrowed money. I never had debt. I never had too much. I never had too little. The Lord always provide the necessary to buy a car, second hands, to rent a house. I always avoided to buy houses. Sometimes I bought cars which in certain country where I lived, a second hands car was more expensive. In fact, it was a camper. Was more expensive than buying a little apartment. But I prefer not to buy houses because they usually... You think you own a house, but the house owns you. And when there is persecutions, which always comes if you are in God's will, 2 Timothy 3:12, when there is persecution, the house doesn't hold you back. Okay, that was a problem where Lot and his wife were. They didn't want to leave Sodom because they own things. The angel to take by the hands and pull them out. The wife didn't even make it. So when you own a house in the Sodom of this world, it's difficult to move when the Holy Spirit says move, when there's persecution. Persecution can be different kinds. Especially if you evangelize, you'll be persecuted. The Christians are not persecuted is because they are out of God's will. Because 2 Timothy 3:12 says, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. In John 15, Jesus says, if they persecuted me, they persecute you. The Christians are not persecuted or who are blessed and happy in this world. They probably are the blessing of the devil. Because God, you cannot be happy and blessed in this world more than Jesus, more than his disciples. Okay, so this gospel of prosperity that God wants you happy, full of money, is false, okay? So you cannot be happier than Jesus, less persecuted than Jesus and the apostle, less persecuted than the early church, and consider yourself a normal Christian. It's abnormal not to be persecuted. The normality is to live like Jesus, the apostle, the early church, and be persecuted.
Amen. Amen. So to make a little resume, basically, to live by faith means preach the gospel, witness to people, evangelize them, and they automatically will provide to your material needs because it's written in the gospel. You preach the gospel and you shall live by the gospel.
Sometimes people don't provide because, you know, the first thing a missionary has to teach the sheep is ministering is not to be selfish. So we have to teach the sheep to share. However, a lot of time they don't give enough for our support. So God steps in and does miracles. So, like, this man now is fixing our car for free. We just don't have enough money. We don't receive enough tithings to pay for every fixing of the car, to pay for everything we need. So, sometimes, for example, you need more food. You need, see right now, here we have a very nice stove. It works with wood. There is a system of radiators here that it has a gas system. Because here we are in a little mountain here. We are in South America, but we are, it's a little mountain. We are, it's pretty chilly. So we have a heating system in the house, which is radiators with gas, but the gas is very, very expensive. We can't afford. So we bought a stove, a wooden stove, and we are heating most of the house with a wooden stove. We didn't have wood. We ran out of wood. We didn't have no food. So we prayed, and as we always do, we went to witness in the place where there was wood and where there was food, supermarkets. And we witnessed to the directors to these places, and we evangelized them. Right? We evangelized, and the guy gave us the wood that we needed. The same thing, you go to a shop where they sell food, evangelize the owner of the shop, and when you find the sheep, he will give you the food. That's what we do.
Amen. Okay. And these are all blessings of seeking first the kingdom of God.
So, yeah, it's just like, what can I say? For example, you are a salesman, you go door to door selling and this or selling that. Fine. But instead of selling this or selling that, you can go door to door in the streets or wherever you go and offer gospel material. You can have posters, you can have tapes, you can have there are DVDs, CDs, tracks. You can have booklets, whatever you can produce, or you can get from some other missionary. We are happy to share with you our material if you want. And you can offer these things. And then when they don't give you, you ask for a volunteer donation. When they give you nothing, well, make sure that you still give them some love, your friendship, and also some material. You know, when you can give a DVD for free, CD, give it. Or at least you should give a track, a gospel track. Always give something for free. So you never give the impression that you are selling. In fact, they ask, are you selling this? We don't sell. We just accept donation of people who can. And people who cannot, we give something for free. You know, this is beautiful.
And you know what's inspiring, different than having a normal job, is that you meet people and you get to talk to them about Jesus as you distribute gospel material, you know? Because having a job selling peanuts in a shop, you know, it's not that you can get to witness, but as you go around distributing Christian materials, you actually are a missionary. You go around evangelizing.
We are not putting down the brethren who get a job as they sell peanuts or the shop and sell fruit and veggie. You can do that too. And that's if you don't have the faith to live by faith and support yourself to distributing gospel material or in a different way, then okay, it's okay to get a job as long as you use your money for the glory of God, as long as you put Jesus first, as long as your purpose is to preach the gospel. You can do that, but it's much easier if you want to live by faith is to distribute gospel materials.
And because the end time is coming, dear brethren, and the mark of the beast is coming, and you won't be able to have a normal job. I mean, I feel in the spirit, please, dear brethren, as soon as you can, start learning to live by faith. Because soon, we won't be able to have a normal job selling peanuts. Otherwise, you're going to have to get the mark of the beast.
Or work in an office behind a computer in a bank. You won't be able to do that.
Exactly.
Because you have to sell your soul.
Exactly. Exactly.
So learn now to live by faith. It's not difficult.
It's not. It's inspiring.
It's really not difficult. Just trust in the Lord, and every morning get up, get on your knees, and stay on your knees until you hear from the Lord what you're supposed to do, and He will tell you. The easiest way is to find some brethren, other single brethren or other families to cooperate together, and you can rent an apartment, a house, depends how big you need.
Basically organize a community.
Yeah, you can do the way we do. We can teach you the way we do. We can help you all we can. In fact,
so teach, how do we do? How
in
do
fact,
we organize a
if
community?
The Lord shows you to come in this area, the world, we will help you all we can. We have a couple of, we give you fellowship, love, we give you guidance, how to, if you need to find a job, if you need to rent a house, we will counsel you. We have two big meetings a week, one Sunday, one in the middle of the week, we do Bible study, and we are very happy to invite you for this fellowship with you. We have communion together, and then we'll give you counsel. If you want to rent a house, we can help you how to organize your house, what house to look for, what not to look for, what area, what city. We can help all the counsel. All the counsel we can, we'll be happy to help you. See how much you're willing to spend, what your budget is. We can counsel all we can.
And if somebody practically wants to organize a community the way you have, you said you'll teach them how. How can they do it?
It's really not difficult. It's like
practically speaking.
Well, practically speaking, you mean different families?
Yes.
Well, the Bible gives the blueprint. If they want to do exactly the way we do, well, that's the easiest way, because we are like a one single family here. We are brethren. We all help each other. In Acts 2:44-45, it talks about that. All that believe were together, had all things in common, and sold the possessions and goods and parted them to all men. So we sold our possession that we had, and we shared the money together. And when the money finished, the Lord provided the rest. It's very simple. But we operate like it says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, speaking the same, working the same, as one body, one mind, around the one shepherd, one pastor, Jesus Christ, one doctrine, the Bible, one purpose, loving God, and evangelize the lost. So it's really the easiest life in the world. But you must crucify selfishness, greed, jealousy, you know. And because if you want to live together in a house, and then...
have your own fridge.
It's like you have your fridge, your food, your special this, your special that. And there is a brother starving in the next room. It's not exactly like the early church, understand? If you want to cooperate in one house... Otherwise, I suggest you cooperate with other houses, with other apartments, and then you can keep your money, your fridge, your food, etc. You have to decide to what level you want to be, but also depends what kind of people you find. Make sure you don't go and share your money with some Judas who's going to run away with your money, like it happened to me. We had a guy who wanted to join us, and then a few years later, he confessed that when he left, he stole a bunch of money. We found out he stole the money and everything, and then eventually confessed. So be careful about Judas's false brethren, like it says in Galatians 2:4.
It's always nice and quote engagement period before, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's like even we before accepting people in our own community, it's like, hey, we want to know each other for a few months. To see if people like us, if we like them. We need to speak this language here, because if people don't accept the priority of first the Lord, next love each other, love the brethren, and then dedicate your life for witnessing, evangelization, it's not going to work. Like people go into your house and bring all the selfishness and the jealousy and the greed, it's not going to work. Some people they might not like to work with us, they prefer to have their own house. So it takes time before you are together. So if you are different friends or different families, you can give it a try. You don't have to, even if you rent a house with other 2-3 families, you don't have to start from the first day sharing money. That should be the last thing. That can come after a few months. You can still live together.
Co-evangelizing together.
You can still live together in the same house, like if it was a little hotel in the beginning. Okay, you can have your own fridge, your own money, your own food, your personal money, and you don't share that. But then slowly, as you learn to work together, that you trust each other, you start sharing the food, a little bit the money, but you have to wait until you trust each other. You don't start sharing the money right away. It's like when you get married, you find a girl, you want to marry her, you don't start giving all the money. You don't do that. First, you see if she loves you and if you love her. And then after the marriage is first the love and after the money. You're not supposed to get married for the cause of the money. So anybody wants to make a community with you and share the money immediately, be careful. It could be a trick. The guy might just want to... It looks like he's giving you, but at the end he takes from you. He's taken from you. So yeah, be careful not to get deceived, okay?
One thing I want to share, that in a community what's nice is that we help each other. Okay, not just sharing the money financially, but for example... If there are two families and they have the children, you know. Let's say maybe I go to the witnessing, but I have my children. The people staying home take care of my children. Like we help each other in the different activities that we do. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of living in a community.
Amen. I have 6 children, so I can testify that. I remember I was in India for a few years, and I was helping taking care of a lot of people who had a lot of children. So it's just it's give and take. And a love is never only giving and it's never only taking. God doesn't just love us. God doesn't just give to us. God also takes. He takes our love, our affection, our faithfulness, our devotions, our putting him first, and our worshiping him. So love is not just giving. It's, you know, it sounds good in sermons. Love is only giving. Give, but what about taking? Wrong. Love is giving and taking. Like in a marriage, you don't just love your wife. Your wife has to love you. Otherwise, what marriage is it? Otherwise, I can just go help a woman's, you know, old folks home once a week. that's it. I can go help a paralyzed woman who are in coma or something. You don't need a marriage. A marriage is not just giving, it's also taking. So in our family here, like all the brethren that come here, it's like we're like a family. We're like brothers completely.
Man.
Praise God.
Well, another question somebody puts, he would like to be a missionary and go evangelizing, but he said, I need to support myself and the ministry. Is it difficult to find jobs for foreigners in South America?
Listen, I'm not specialized in, I don't have a employment agency. It's like, I'm not specialized in finding jobs. I'm not the best person to ask about jobs. However, there have been a couple of situations when we look for jobs. Remember, there was, for example, there was a girl, I remember in Eastern Europe, she was overage, she was 19, but her father was beating her up and beating her because she wanted to be a missionary, but he said, if you're a missionary, I'll kill you. But she was overage, she could have, but she was still afraid he was going to kill her. So, in fact, she wanted to join our community in Eastern Europe. You know her, right?
Yes. Girl?
And so I say to her, listen, you cannot join because he's going to come here and going to start, maybe, I don't know, he's going to kill somebody or something. So let's use wisdom, even though it's legal for you to just be a missionary. So I counseled her, look, we're going to find a job for you. We're going to help you find a job. We're going to help you.
Does that mean you're going to help brethren find jobs?
Well, depends. It's like, no, this is not our call. No, we don't usually go around looking for jobs. In this case, this girl, she really needed help.
And plus, she wanted to join the community.
Yes, exactly. But we knew her for a long time. You know, she used to come faithfully to the Bible study. She never missed one time, except when she was beaten up and everything. So anyway, we suggested to her that one morning she went out looking for a job, and we prayed that the Lord gave us the plan. So another sister went with her, and I told her, look, just go shop to shop, office to office, company to company. Just go to 20, 30 places, and the Lord, I'm sure you're going to have plenty to choose. And we were in Eastern Europe, we had very little job. People were starving, no money, nothing, but seek and they shall find. It was the Bible principle. We followed, and it worked. This girl, and she went with another sister, and in one morning, they found 8 jobs. 6 jobs she could start right away. 2 jobs she had to get an answer. I remember. So immediately she picked the best job, the best job she liked, the best place where the people were more friendly and everything. And she started working. Then after a week or a few days, 3-4 days, her father went there and he was trying to force her to go back home. See, if she would have joined the mission, that would have been like a terrible scandal because we are just a non-denominational Christian. The father was an Orthodox officially, and so. What happened? He started yelling and screaming in this shop, all right. And it was like a mini supermarket. It was like a little small supermarket. And so yelling and screaming, I'll kill you, this and that. So everybody from the shop came and said, "What's going on here?" She said, "My father, she doesn't want me to work. He wants me to go. But I'm overage, a 19-year-old. I can have my job." And everybody said, "Yeah, of course." So the father was furious, raging, fuming, but there's nothing he could do. The law was on her side. And so finally, he couldn't beat her up in the shop. So he left, and after a few days, everything calmed down, and she joined our mission. Everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, I found her a job. So listen.
The point is,
unless you want to be the director of a bank or the director of an institution, or you want to sit down on a chair, warm up a chair forever in front of a computer, or unless you want to be a top musician or a top-notch secretary with double salaries, listen, if you just are happy with a little stable of Bethlehem job, you know, maybe sell fruit and veggie, sell peanuts, go in a little rinky-dinky fast food and just clean tables or whatever. Be an assistant cook or an assistant carpenter. Yeah. Just make sure you avoid, I'm suggesting this to girls, especially young girls. I suggested that make sure you don't go work in a club where there's mafia, where they want you with a miniskirt, high heel. Don't go to a place where there's sell alcohol, we are people hang around, okay?
Amen. So God bless you, dear brethren. Of course, if your faith is to find a job, seek and you shall find, as we told you, the Lord for sure will provide. But in the same time, because we are living in the end time, it's beautiful, and we encourage everybody to learn to live by faith.
Yeah, the mark of the beast is coming.
Exactly. And living in a community, things are much easier, helping each other.
Yeah, like, yeah, we have a lot of girls, yeah, young girls and everything. Yeah, you know how it is. Girls have their cycle every month and everything. And so we help, like, when a sister or a brother, for example, needs extra sleep, or, you know, they can sleep in, they can... They were supposed to cook, somebody else will cook, make sure somebody needs to eat a little better. Like I said, so girls need a pill of iron, they need to eat the liver. It's like like a big family. We help each other. It's not like every morning at 7:30 you have to be at the job. If you're late today, you get fired. Yeah, a lot of time we get up in the morning at 9 o'clock, 9:30. Sometimes we at 10 o'clock we're still praying. It's okay. In a community, you make your own schedule. You don't have a boss with a stick, a slave driver. Yeah, our driver here is Jesus. Our boss is God. Our national constitutions is the Bible.
Amen.
And I'm the elder here, okay? I'm the elder, but the pastor is Jesus. And so, like, in a community, like, then we eat together all the time, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In a community, you'll find this little heaven on earth, because every meal is a feast, because we share testimonies, we share emails.
We did a chapter.
You know, it's nice when you eat together, before you eat, you hold hands and you pray for the food. And then, at night, sometimes we get together, share testimony, and we watch, a Christian movie. We don't watch free TV here from the devil. No, it's just only Christian productions here, Christian music all day long. Then teams go out evangelizing, come back. Somebody else is ready, waiting for them, having the food already prepared. Like, I really count strongly. It's like heaven on earth, life in a community compared to the world. In the world, when you fall, you're alone. You're there, you're apart, you have to pay your rent, you have to buy your food. If you get fired, maybe you're sick, in bed with fever, nobody around to help you, good night. Here, later we've been having children with cough. Well, we all pitch in to help and everything. We all help, yeah.
Amen. Plus, isn't that basically, you were telling earlier that it's the blueprint of Acts 2. Isn't that God's will? I mean, wasn't that kind of what God intended for this church?
Well, that was the best plan for the church. Then, of course, the church got persecuted, got scattered. But the true Christian, they can continue sharing the money, the food, helping each other.
Amen.
If you see in Acts 2, 44, 45, Acts chapter 4, they were eating together, sharing the bread every day, etc. This is the plan. This is normal Christianity.
Amen. Living, it should be normal.
Living, following Jesus, and living like the early apostles, the early church, it's normal Christianity. The Christianity you see today, it's abnormal. It's
basically
it's artificial. It's false. Like we just meet once a week, shake hands. Oh, I love you, brother. How is he going? Oh, this and that. Sister over there, widow, 4 children, no money for the rent, no heating. And the guy here has 2 Mercedes, bank accounts, this and that. Yeah, he owns 2 houses, 3 houses. And the sister over there, widow, pays the rent. Selfish. I mean, they should share, okay? The brother, like John the Baptist, said, either has 2 pair of sandals, give to him who has none. Either has 2 jackets, give to him who has none. So that's Christianity. Christianity today is a bunch of hypocritical Laodicea apostasy, okay? Christianity today is most of it apostasy, okay? Most. It has nothing to do with the way it was in the Bible. So I strongly suggest, don't get a job in the system. Just serve the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord, you'll see. You know, missionary go out, when they go out distributing gospel material, you know, they also say, today we're doing collection for the mission. And they come back with a plastic bag full of cheese, meat, bread. You know,
Amen.
It's a blessing, a bottle of oil.
Amen.
Right, but the thing is that you make sure you don't go out, you don't go evangelizing so you can get some bread and some meat. You go evangelizing for Jesus, for
Amen.
Love,
Amen.
To get souls saved.
Amen.
Okay, and then when they give you nothing, you give them something.
Amen.
Some love.
Amen.
Message of salvation. You pray with them to receive Jesus. They're open to that. You give them a gospel track, even if they give nothing.
Basically, what they give you, it's a consequence because you gave them.
Exactly. They see, the people are not stupid. They understand if you're there because you're greedy or you're just pretending. If you go around repeating a line, oh, I'm a Christian, blah, blah, blah. After a while, you feel so dry, so false, so fake, so hypocrite. It won't last very long. You have to be sincere.
Amen.
Sincerely loving
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Sincerely wanted to evangelize. Sincerely wanted to get them saved out of hell into heaven. The key word is they have to be sincere.
Amen.
And when they don't help you, you help them. They don't love you, you love them.
Amen.
When they reject you, you give the message of Jesus. Love them that hate you. Pray
Amen.
For them that despise you. Love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Matthew
Amen.
Chapter 5. Well, write in if you have any question. In conclusion, if you have any way we can help you. Anything we cannot do, we'll teach you how to do without. So that's... But believe me, if you put your hands in the hands of God and you trust God,
Amen.
God will not, cannot, it's impossible to let you down. Otherwise,
Amen.
You're going to just throw the Bible away.
Amen.
Look, if you decide to sell everything, like we did, share all the money you have with your brethren of your choice, and God doesn't provide, then you can just throw the Bible away. But you know, brother, it's not going to happen.
Amen.
Just make sure you don't go to false brethren. Make sure you wait months and months until you get to know the brethren. These brethren come in this area and they want to join our fellowship. They're welcome. First of all, they can join our fellowship wherever they are. But if they want to come here, actually part of our community, that's possible too. But we need to get to know a few months first. We need to see if they like us. You know, my face is not the most beautiful in Hollywood. We have to see if we like them. You know, we have to see. It takes two to make a tango, it says in the proverb. So, get in touch if you want any more counsel. We have some very sweet sisters here who will take care of you. We'll answer your email. And if there is any question that you want, you have directly for me, they will tell me. I will answer. So, God bless you. Get in touch and we'll pray for you in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. That you learn to live by faith.
Lord Jesus, we pray for these brethren who want to live by faith, Lord Jesus, that you bless them, you help them,
Amen.
You guide them, you give them guidance, you give them anointing, you give them wisdom, you give them determination, strength, courage to detach from Sodom of this world, to prepare the end time is coming, to get ready the Antichrist is coming, to learn how to live by faith and not having to go to the supermarket with a trolley and a pocket full of money.
Amen.
One of these days it's going to be the mark of the beast on the forehead or the right hand. That's not going to be possible. There have been prophets who said they saw the end time. The people became cannibals. People became savages. People became demon-possessed. And that time, we need to go in the wilderness, the church, the bride of Christ, the woman. We'll go in the wilderness, Revelation 12, verse 6 and 14, and we will be protected 3.5 years, and we have to prepare, Lord Jesus, at the time of training is now. The time to put the oil in the lamps is now. The time to learn for the battle is not during the battle, but in peacetime.
Amen.
Now is the time to
Amen.
Become soldiers. Now is the time to learn to be soldiers. In the name of Jesus Christ,
amen
and amen.
Amen.
We
amen.
Love you. Praise
amen.
The Lord. Amen.